Okay, this is Lindsay Mosley interviewing resident DDR master Marcus Barnes, who is a longtime friend of mine and a longtime DDR teacher and compatriot and traveling companion and consequently ex-boyfriend, but he's also a
you
really...
You throw that in, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. That's just awesome.
And he's also my best friend and one of my favorite people in the world. Aww. So, thanks for letting me interview you, and welcome to our little podcast.
Thanks for having me, honestly.
I'm glad you came by, because we've been talking about doing this DDR interview now for, what, 2 months, 3 months?
Yeah, about around that time, yeah.
Yeah, so this is about October that we're doing this interview, and we actually had time in our busy schedules to sit down and talk to each other about DDR and how long we've been playing and what we like about it and what we don't like about it. Mm-hmm. So, first question for you, Marcus, is how long have you been playing DDR?
About 6.5 years, honestly. Come June, it'll be seven. 7 long years of stomping on arrows, honestly.
Well, what year did you start? Was it 2001 or 2002?
I believe somewhere in the middle, like probably about June of 2001, I would say.
Ah, okay. Did you, what was it like learning to play? Did you just start out playing and then decided, oh, I'm really going to get serious about this? Or did you just decide, oh, okay, well, all my friends are playing it, let's see what this is about, and then get started playing?
It started reading on some forums that we used to go to, SRK or Shoryuken.com. That's a fighting game site. She had some friends that said they played DDR, and I saw it, and I'm like, hey, that's cool. So when it actually came over here in the States for the PS1, I was like, hey, I can actually get this. I can actually try it. And then I actually got it, and it was awkward as all get up, like press this arrow and step on this arrow, and twice I almost fell on my face, I will say that. But then after a while, like, it kind of gradually, you start to get it, and then it's like, okay, it makes sense now.
Yeah, I encountered that too once I started learning how to play, because I started to learn how to play once you started to learn how to play, and I was like, hey, I guess as his girlfriend, I need to learn how to play this, and I was like, well, I guess this is okay. It'll help me lose weight because I'm kind of tubby. But I figured it would help me develop better coordination as far as rhythm games go, because I was really wanting to try to learn how to play Beatmania at the same time. But I originally was learning to play Beatmania, but then I stopped. But I think I might get back into it. But
like, I plan on getting back into it as well, even though, like, the learning curve is, like, steep. But I can do a lot of, like, songs on, like, the easiest setting, but once it gets into normal, there's a lot more keys, and it's like, I'm confused. My fingers cannot fly that fast.
But speaking of Beatmania, though, how much of it is... have you picked up on it from DDR? Because DDR is one of those things where if you practice it enough, you can pick up on it and learn how to play rhythm games a little bit better. But how much have you learned from Beatmania that you applied to DDR?
Probably the only thing that I learned from Beatmania that I applied to DDR, the notes in Beatmania all scroll down. It never changes. Everything scrolls down. So if you're playing DDR and say, like, you get extra stage, everything's in reverse, you know how to read arrows right then, because since the arrows are going in reverse, you remember how you played Beatmania, so it's like, okay, this makes sense. I got this.
How long did it take you to move through the divisions of DDR?
Wow, divisions. You're making it sound like a sport. I would say light took me about 5 months. I'll honestly say 5 months, so I can actually get the rhythm and coordination down. Standard, about a month. Actually, less than a month. Probably about 2 weeks. Because I played a couple of standard songs, and I passed them. And I was like, hey, if I can do this, let's try heavy. Played heavy, passed a good bit of stuff on heavy, so I'm like, in 2 weeks I'm playing heavy. So you're looking at about a 6 month swing from light to heavy and some Oni stuff.
Okay. What's been the hardest heavy song you've ever passed?
To be quite honest, right now, probably the hardest heavy song I've passed would probably be, and this is for, like, pre-Supernova and Fascination Max and all that weird stuff that they've been putting out lately. Honestly, for me right now, it has been Max Unlimited. Though I have been working on Fascination Max, it is a pain, but I will get through it. I know that.
Yeah, Fascination Max is a pain. I prefer Eternal Love Mix, actually, to the original Fascination Max.
Yeah, because it's fun to play. Between Fascination Max and Eternal Love Mix, we'll just say Film from now on, like Fax and Film, so it's easier to understand. Like, Film is a lot more fun to play than Fax is, because Fax is more, oh my god, I'm gonna die! And Film is like, okay, I have a small break before I fall on my face, but it's still fun.
I like your descriptions.
Because that's how they are, honestly.
Yeah, I actually, the hardest song I have ever passed on my feet is probably Paranoia Survivor Max on Standard. Because, and I say that only because I have done some higher songs. I've done other eight footers, but to me, Twin B Heavy is not anywhere near an eight footer like Paranoid Survivor Max.
But then back then, like, eight footers then were, like, indeed eight footers before now, and eight footers, like, okay, you're gonna lose half your leg before you're able to pass this song.
Yeah, eight footers, I don't like the new scale that they've done because I feel like it's trying to trump the legacy of In the Groove, where you could look at the scale in the beginning, you could look at a scale of DDR songs and, okay, say you jump out at me with, oh, I'm gonna throw Twin B Heavy and it's an 8 at you, but you tell me, oh well, I'm gonna give you Paranoia Rebirth on Heavy is a 9. But when I look at that 9, I know exactly what kind of heavy steps they're going to be. I know the density of the steps. I know how difficult it's going to be just by looking at the number.
Mm-hmm. Whereas now the scale is like, okay, here's, like, say, Pluto Relinquish on Heavy or Expert now. It's a 17.
What's a 17?
Exactly. What's a 17? This isn't In the Groove. This isn't Pump It Up. Where did this come from?
Exactly. I'm like, what's a 17? What's a 13? Like, I mean, I know a flashing 10 is probably a 13. Okay, like, good example is Paranoid Survivor Heavy. As a matter of fact, the Oni steps of Paranoid Survivor are 13s. They've said they're closer to 12 or 13, being the hardest songs in DDR up until Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can gauge that and look at the steps and say, oh my god, that is a 12. I can imagine that being a 12.
Or rather up until Supernova, if you will, before they started Fax and Film and all this other random stuff.
Yeah, with now when I look at that scale of 17 to 18, I can guess that it's probably really hard. Mm-hmm. And I won't be touching it anytime soon, but I can't look at that and say, oh, Flashing 10, that's a hard song that's mm-hmm. going to be ridiculous
yeah.
in terms of arrows. I mean, I can say that, but it's not the same thing as before when they had Flashing 10s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really just felt like I didn't like the changes with the new scaling and all. And I'm not a fan of changing the categories again, mm-hmm. because when we started playing, it was still basic,
Trick, and Maniac.
Yeah.
Then Six Mix came. Then it was Light, Standard, Heavy. Extreme came. Beginner, because you still had a lot of noobs that were just getting into the game. Beginner, Light, Standard, Heavy. And we were fine with that. And then here comes Supernova. And I've forgotten what it was. Now, all I know is there's Expert, and I'm like, that's stupid.
Yeah, what's expert? When you tell me heavy or maniac, I can tell you, oh my God, that's a heavy song. I mean, like, that's gonna be hard to do. That's out of my range. When you say expert, I could be considered an expert at the game because I can play a lot of heavy songs, or I used to be able to play a lot of heavy songs. Mm-hmm. But now I'm not an expert. I wouldn't consider myself an expert. I'd say I'm a standard player, or I'm a trick player, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I know where my range is.
Yeah.
Going by the game, I'm just an expert, actually. Mm-hmm. Probably now I'd be considered an expert. Mm-hmm. So, I don't like to change into the categories either, but it's DDR, and you just have to go with it.
If that's the direction Konami decides, hey, this is where we need to go, then I guess we're kind of stuck with it unless enough people actually complain about them enough, take it back to where it was. Hopefully they'll actually listen and actually do something about it.
Well, Konami's been known to listen to fans about that kind of stuff since people complain so much about the song wheel changing in Extreme, American Extreme. They changed it back to the original song wheel that debuted in Fifth Mix.
Mm-hmm.
So Konami has a track record of sometimes listening to DDR players.
If that's the case, they'll start getting rid of these licensed songs because those are garbage.
Well, I feel like licensed songs, I don't like them that much, but you gotta look at the mix mm-hmm. where that they're in. Like, American 6th and American 7th,
mm-hmm.
I love the licensed songs in those games. I love them. I mean, I love what they brought in because it wasn't bad. It wasn't just, you know, outright awful. But American Extreme, awful. I would never in my life let somebody play American Extreme. I wouldn't put that on my worst enemy.
I mean, I'll give you that. It's depend, like you said, it's dependent on the mix. Six mix, 7 mix. Sandstorm, you can see arrows with that. Busy Child, you can see arrows with that. Days Go By, you can watch that video and think, wow, you know he's stepping the arrows on that. Then you go to US Extreme. YMCA? No. Kids in America? No.
Yeah, that's not good. I wouldn't have let anybody put that in the game.
Exactly. That was a waste of space. You could have put other actual DDR songs, Konami songs, or Bimani songs, in place of those, instead of like having to expand it to another mix. Yes, it gives you a reason to buy that other mix, but do we have to deal with this garbage before we play the good stuff?
Dude, they could have just substituted some more of the Extreme songs from the Japanese mix that were actually in the arcade mix for some of those licensed songs that they put in Extreme USA.
Amen.
I felt like, don't give me a taste of them, and then you gotta turn around and put out another Extreme
mm-hmm.
and call it Extreme 2 mm-hmm. when there's no such thing in Japan as Extreme 2. Mm-hmm. They got a watered-down version of Extreme 2 here, because they basically got Extreme.
Pretty much.
They got the arcade mix.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, don't give me two games just because you got lazy and didn't want to put all of it in one game.
Because exactly.
They could have took out the licenses and put in something like Paranoia Survivor, or give me all of my Paranoias,
mm-hmm.
or give me all of Trip Machines, or, you know, or give me, they could have put Across the Nightmare in. Give us Under Trois? But that wasn't until, what, Supernova? Or was it Extreme 2?
No, Under Trois was Extreme 2.
I mean, they could have given me that in the first mix.
Yeah.
Since that was an 8th mix home exclusive.
I mean, even as far out as it is, Max Period, you could have given us that. As crazy of a song as that is, God, I wish I could pass that. You could have given us that.
Oh, you know we'd have never got Max Period. Max Period, you know they deem us as the lazy Americans, and so we'll never get any hard songs, like hard songs. Look, we just barely got Paranoid Survivor, okay?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Even though it was weird, they wouldn't give us some songs because they deemed it too hard for America, but yet we got Legend of Max in Extreme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's honestly, not to put it bluntly, that's basically degrading us as DDR players, honestly.
Yeah, it was like, oh, well, you can't pass half these heart songs, like, Across the Nightmare or at least 100 seconds, but you can pass Legend of Max, which is a 333 beat per minute song. Mm-hmm. That is a hard song. That is a flashing 10. Mm-hmm. Why is that easier to pass? That is not easy to pass.
I don't know. Maybe they're backwards over in Japan about that stuff. I don't know.
Well, you know, DDR has fallen out of favor in Japan. It's, I don't even know why they released DDR at 10 there, because
it's 10 years, so it was like, okay, this is the 10th year of DDR, let's just put something out, just to put it out there.
They could have just not done it, because it's like, the Japanese don't even really care about it. I mean, they have machines there still, but it's nowhere near as big as it was. We have a friend of ours that lives in Japan now, Jamie Johnston, and he's a sweet young man, but he's also a gamer and gives me regular reports on how the gaming situation is there, and he told me, he was like, there are really no machines. I mean, you have to look for a DDR machine. Well, you can find plenty of Beatmania machines, but you can't find DDR machines.
Yeah, everything outside of DDR, like Beatmania, Poppin' Music, even stuff that Konami doesn't even own, like Pump It Up, you will find huge amounts of those over in Japan. You've tried to find a DDR machine, good luck.
Yeah, he found some random fifth mix or something, and like a seventh mix, and then he was like, oh, yeah, it was hard to find those. I had to go looking for it. And, of course, you know, they were all like, oh, silly Gaijin, you come to play DDR? We don't play DDR here anymore. Why are you looking for that?
It's like, that's not the cool stuff here. Why are you on that machine? Get off. Go over in the corner somewhere.
I wish Konami would have an arcade like Sega has there, where they have floors of games. Like, they would have a floor of DDR, of each mix of DDR. Like, because Sega themselves have the Sega arcades. Now, they're starting to go down, too. It's Club Sega, actually, but they're starting to go down, too. But they had arcades where they would have a floor full of Virtual Cop, a floor full of Virtual Fighter. Mm-hmm. Different versions of Virtual Fighter would get different floors. Mm-hmm. And this is, we ain't talking about a little arcade. We're talking like a 5-floor arcade, mm-hmm. which is unheard of in America. We barely get a floor. So.
Yeah, true. Well, we hardly have a floor now, considering like the arcade scene in America is all but dead, honestly.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like when I find a DDR machine, it's a miracle. It is literally a miracle that there are DDR machines here, because, well, half of them are not supposed to be here anyway, but...
And then the other half have been, like, transferred over to In the Groove.
Yeah, they've all changed them over, which is quite illegal, too. But, which was part of the reason why Konami bought the intellectual rights, sued them, and won the intellectual rights to In the Groove.
Which
but
extremely lame.
It was. It was quite lame, because there went to competition. Mm-hmm. DDR and Konami in general had no reason to even begin to try to keep up with the competition, because they don't really see Pump It Up as their competition. I don't know why, though.
To go off topic, it's kind of the same reason why Konami started to sue, like, EA and Activision when Rock Band and Guitar Hero came out, because for the intellectual rights, because they had Rock Revolution coming out and they technically did have the idea first with Drum Mania and Guitar Freaks. However, it's not EA's fault or Activision's fault that, yeah, they saw this idea, but they built on that idea and made something that we could play over here with the Guitar Heroes and the Rock Bands. And now here comes Konami with their own version of Rock Revolution, which is garbage, by the way.
It's quite garbage.
Yes, very much so. And for them to say, we had the idea first, we should own all of this, we're going to sue, which I'm pretty much assuming they lost miserably, which, not to sound mean, they deserve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They deserved it.
It just tells you, like, the state of where Konami is now. If we had the idea first, yeah, we should go ahead and sue you, because we should just own that. No, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. I thought Konami was silly for even bothering to try to sue for that, mm-hmm. but whatever. It's Konami. This is the same Konami that releases two versions of a game and calls it the same thing, such as Extreme or Supernova. But, anyway, getting back to DDR, when did you consider yourself an expert player?
When I could pass heavy songs and not run out of breath.
Yeah, I'd say that's quite a feat. I still can't do that.
Actually, let me add on to that. When I could pass heavy songs in succession and play for a couple of hours at a time and not run out of breath.
I see. I really still can't do that. I try, but I can't do it. I used to be more in shape with it, so I can understand what that's like to be able to play a couple of songs and not feel like your lungs are going to fall out of your chest.
Yeah. I mean, there were the times when I had to, like, somewhat collapse beside the machine, but give me, like, 5 minutes, I'm up. I'm back on the game.
Yeah. He still does that now. He does play a couple of sets and sticks with it and doesn't really get out of breath. I've seen him play several games in a row, and it's like, okay, are you going to take a break now?
What is this?
Describe the experience for our listeners of participating in high-level tournaments, because I know that you're a tournament player, or you used to be. You've retired now, but yes, folks, he went into retirement, but
quote-unquote.
Describe what it was like playing in high-level tournaments, because a lot of people I've encountered in my years of playing video games, when I tell them I played in tournaments, they look at me like, "What do you mean you played in tournaments? How do you hold a tournament for insert game here?" But they're like, you know, how do you do that? So describe for us what it's like to participate in the heavy division for DDR.
Well, I can't exactly say that it's like any kind of sports tournament or whatnot where it takes like a whole bunch of practice. Well, technically, it does take a whole bunch of practice and everything like that. It's more you go to that tournament. Well, before you go to the tournament, you have like certain songs that you have at the ready just in case you need a bailout or something to fall back on. Then you go to the tournament, you see your competition, you see what they do, and it's more or less, what can I play against him that he's not good at, because I know he's going to be thinking the same with me. Of course, with technology nowadays, with the internet, you have things like what was NNR or DDR Recall, where people like post their scores up on how they've done or whatnot. So, like a day before a tournament, you can just scroll through the list of the songs that they've played and see like their worst songs. Practice those songs, and if you're going to play against that person, you have that song to play against them, and everything like that.
I see. I know about, I can't really pronounce it correctly, but that really good site that has all the MP3s and Stepmania packs. Xenius, I think it's called. Xenius Eye Vanisher?
That's it.
They're really good, and they also have a score tracking group that you can look at. I'm on DDR Recall myself, but I haven't used it and I haven't logged in so long, I couldn't possibly tell you what my last score was. I know it was I probably put in a score for Twin B on Heavy, because that was the last Heavy song that I really was working on before I kind of got out of playing it, but they also have a really good Xenius does has a really good score tracking system, and they seem to be a pretty solid site for that also. But I know that we used to keep up with tournaments. We go on DDR Freak and research tournament strategies, and which, if you can imagine, researching tournament strategies for DDR is crazy, because it's like, oh, I can do this song, or I can pick this song. You got to figure out what your qualifier is, you know, to do bracket seating. And it was like, yeah, I now need to practice about six different songs to be able to take people out and possibly move on to the next round. How many tournaments have you won as a heavy player?
Wow. Honestly, two. Just two. A lot of them I've placed high, but I've actually won two.
And yes, when I say he plays pretty high, I'm talking like at least at third. Second or third. And we had a lot of high-level players show up. In the Southeast, at least.
Then once the really good players showed up, I would at least be top 10, top 5, at least be in that top ranking just to be like, yeah, I actually did something at this tournament.
Yeah, we, on average, we would have like, what, 20, 30 people?
About average, about between 20 and 30 people.
I remember one really good tournament that we held was it June 2003?
June 2002 or 2003.
We had like 32 people show up.
All together. I was like, that is awesome.
That was very awesome. That was a very long day. I remember we got started at 8 in the morning on a Saturday at the Putt-Putt out in... What used to be Putt-Putt out off Sparkleberry Lane in Columbia. And we got out there about 8, and we got home that night. It was
about 1 in the morning.
It was about 1. We also made a Waffle House run, so.
I think that night, I think the Waffle House runs just became like, this is what you do after a DDR tournament. Where's the nearest Waffle House? Let's go there.
And that's what we did. We would go to Waffle Houses, and everybody would,
and
you know,
anger the cook as badly as we could, just to get a laugh.
Yeah, we did. We made him mad.
Yeah, we did it for the lulz.
But yeah, it was fun. We threw a lot of tournaments. We together threw a lot of tournaments in Columbia and became known as the tournament duo in Columbia. And I know I probably made a lot of people mad because I would always demand that they sign up and do their brackets correctly so that when time came to run the tournament, we were efficient, we were organized, we were together, we had things running smoothly. So
which I'm glad for, honestly, because if you're running a tournament, you're actually like asking the people for that space, for that time, for that day to actually get things done. And you don't want it to be like half done, because people, when you're ready to run another tournament, people see the way you ran that tournament before. They're like, we don't want to go there. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, we always pride ourselves on having smoothly run tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I especially thank a guy named Justin, lives in North Myrtle Beach, that really helped us out with brackets.
Yeah.
He's great. He was really great. He also runs Pump It Up tournaments, DDR tournaments,
In the Groove tournaments.
And he's a really great guy. But he helped us out and, you know, volunteered the use of his laptop so that we could run a bracket program so that we would have everything computerized and it was ready to roll.
Yep.
And that day went very, very smoothly.
Yes, it did.
We got to meet a lot of people. Most of them knew us as a couple, so they knew us as those two people in Columbia that run the tournaments, that guy and that girl. but we met a lot of people on the East Coast, up and down the East Coast, mostly in the Southeast. A lot of people from North Carolina, South Carolina. We knew a couple folks come from. Well, they held a lot of tournaments in Anderson, South Carolina, too.
We also had some Georgia people come. We had, if I remember correctly, the big one that we had in June. We had a couple people come up from Florida. That was shocking to me. The fact that people from Florida would come up for a tournament that we ran.
Yeah, that was. I was like, wow, you would drive that far for DDR?
Yeah, for this dog and pony show that we're running for a day, like, that's, wow.
Yeah, we had a lot of, that was a very, very long day, but,
to say the least.
I remember trying to get out of the light division, because I was still in the light division at the time, and God, that day I had someone pull Healing Vision, Angelic Mix on me. I had Max 300 pulled on me. I had I got challenged to Max Unlimited.
I think somebody threw Holic at you too.
Yeah, Holic, and someone pulled Orion 78 Civ Mix.
Civilization Mix. Oh.
Yeah, so Civ Mix got pulled on me, and I just looked at him. I was like, it's an 8-footer on standard. I can't do this.
I remember that happening, and I'm standing behind the machine, and they picked that song, and I remember you, like, looking across the way at them, and you just had this look on his face like, I should punch you in your mouth right now.
It was awful because I just knew I was not going to pass that song. And I tried as hard as I could, but I did not make it. I did not make it. I failed miserably. But I went home after that tournament, after I got the very hard songs pulled on me. I went home and I practiced Max 300. And I got the hang of doing Max 300 on light. And the person who pulled it out on me, his screen name was Boxy.
Boxy. I remember Boxy.
His name was Boxy. And I remember the next tournament, it was like 6 months later that we saw him again. And I said, I challenge you to Max 300 on light. And he just kind of looked at me and I was like, yeah, I'm challenging you. I called him out. And I won. I got enough perfects that I won. I almost double-A'd the song just because I had practiced it so much. And at that point, I'd already moved up to standard. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I'm doing this for myself. You ass. I'm doing this for myself. And he was very proud of me. He was impressed. He was like, wow, you have greatly improved in 6 months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just remember playing a lot of DDR, just a lot of DDR between 2002 and 2004 or 5. Right around 2005 is when the Anderson crew just kind of imploded and no one played anymore. And
that was when a lot of crews started to implode right then. Then around 2006, I think there was really not really that much more of a scene in DDR around here, because everybody went to go do their own thing. Certain cliques that played weren't really as tight as they were. And to be quite honest, I'm not going to say that. Okay, I can say that I was kind of part of the reason too, because like I was working so much at the time, I wasn't able to run as many tournaments as I did. There were still the tournaments in Anderson, but you still have the fact that people still had some issues with some people. And after a while, it was like, and then you also had arcade closings as well. That really didn't help matters at all.
Yeah, the Anderson arcade wound up closing in 2006 or 2007. And that was where we went to our first DDR tournament, actually. If you recall, it was our friend.
First out-of-town tournament, yep.
Yeah, we drove up. It was April of 2003 because one of our friends, who was the best man at my wedding, got married. He got married first, and he decided to have his wedding on the day of our tournament. So we showed up in tournament clothes to his wedding, and I looked so bad. But I remember that because that was our first real competition tournament that we showed up to, and we were gonna show up and really make a presence and say, oh, hey, we're from Columbia.
And then got completely obliterated.
Oh, yes, we did.
I held my own. I'll tell you that. I held my own. It was still ugly, but hey.
I got owned because a certain someone who was sandbagging pulled La Señorita Virtual on me in light. And I had not done that song enough. I had done it, but I hadn't done it enough. I knew enough about it to know it was a 7, mm-hmm. as most 2MB songs are. Mm-hmm. They are the hardest versions of whatever song it was. And I got owned. I got owned so bad. And I felt so bad. But I just remember that. It was about 2003. Because it was a very nice spring day. And I remember having a lot of fun traveling. We came back that night, and it was a long day then too.
yeah, it was.
But so I have a question for you. What's your favorite version of Dance Dance Revolution? I'm talking home and arcade. What's your favorite versions?
Home, let's see. At home, it's 6th Mix and 7th Mix. Or, excuse me. DDR, over here, it's DDR Max and DDR Max 2. And there's also the Japanese versions. Thing flying all over the place here. Extreme. Japanese. Let me state that now. Extreme Japanese version. And also the, at the arcade, 4th Mix Plus, because that's where I started in the arcade, 7th Mix, and Extreme. Those were my favorite mixes.
Yeah, I like those too, actually. There's a 4th Mix Plus at what used to be Celebration Station. I don't think it's called Celebration Station anymore.
Yeah, I think it had a name change, but I don't know what it is now.
I did a little bit of research, and when I went up there, it was about 2 years ago with my husband, and he indulged my DDR travel because I wanted to go see what that machine looked like, because I hadn't seen a 4th Mix Plus in years, and it was a 4th Mix Plus, but they had a 7th Mix right next to it. And I kept getting extra stage on 7th Mix and failing miserably in the first 11 seconds of Max Unlimited on 1/5 reverse pressure. And but I remembered how my best friend played it, because I sat there many a time when he was failing in those first 20 seconds. And I remembered how to at least get past the first 5 seconds without failing miserably. But, oh, I failed anyway. But, yeah, I did get a chance to see the 4th Mix Plus machine, and it was in pretty good shape, but yeah, I made the mistake of playing on the 7th Mix and trying to play the Reflex, or I should say the Off-Flex.
Never mention that song around me. God, I hate that song so much.
I love the song, but the steps are so off, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. Oh, God.
It's like, who was coding this song? I hope it wasn't the same person doing Hyper Offbeat, because...
that, for some odd reason, I can stand that one, because it's not completely offbeat. Yes, it's offbeat, but it's not like you have to wait like 3 seconds, then step on an arrow. Whereas the Reflex was like, wait for half the song. Now you start stepping on your first arrow and go from there.
Wow. I have passed the Reflex, but it's ridiculous. What's your favorite song? And yes, he has signature songs, folks.
Yeah. The one that became, and I'm doing the air quotation marks here, trademark, that really did become like my favorite song was Paranoia Rebirth, because with that, that's the song that basically helped me get up to like heavy, because back then, before they had the maxes and everything, Paranoia was one of the hardest songs in the game, and then they started making like remixes of it. I don't know why. I'm glad they did. Rebirth just stuck, because it sounds slightly chaotic, but it's just fun, and that just stuck with me, especially the stupid little one-footed little part that I started doing just because it was fun to do. Stupid, yeah. People got a good laugh out of it, but it was just fun to do.
We call that the Marcus Jig.
Jig nothing.
He blows a raspberry at me for that. I like Paranoid Rebirth too. It's one of my favorites. It's not my favorite. I'll go on record as saying my absolute favorite is probably Paranoia Survivor Max. I like Survivor Max. I can't play it for crap, but I can, if I'm playing on a controller, I can easily A and B it some days, but on my feet, probably on standard, that's as much as I'm doing. And that was in my heyday of playing. That was before I got to be, you know, really, really decent. And now I'm just awful, but... yeah, it's probably my favorite. And then probably my second favorite is Paranoid Hades. And then... I like Zephyr a lot. I like that one. The old stuff, I'm a big fan of Captain Jack. I love Captain Jack.
May he rest in peace.
Lord bless Captain Jack. yeah, I like the erotic stuff too. And I like a lot of Naoki stuff. It depends on what alias he's using. Like, I mean, some days I might like Sexy Planet, Momo Mix, and some days I'm more of a paranoia.
Give me either Insertion or a Holic. I'm happy. If it's from Naoki, if it's either Insertion or Holic, I'm having a blast.
I like R3 with the screaming kitty cat in the background. I like Sakura too.
That's one of my favorites. Fun to play, especially the slow arrow of doom.
It's the green slow arrow of doom.
And that one's always fun, especially when you know it's coming and you have a crowd behind you. You step on the down arrow and you have the left arrow coming. As you like put your foot towards it, you can always look to the crowd and just like shush them like shh. And then step on it, and then, like, crawl back to the right arrow. And then just go back into the song.
We're referring to the 30-second green arrow, if you have on, what is that, note?
Yeah.
For the notes.
Like, a 30-second note.
It's a 30-second green note in the middle of Sakura, the slowdown.
To the point where, yeah, the song slows down to 14 beats a minute. And you have to, like, okay, I think I got it.
Yeah, it's an awful little placed arrow, and whoever coded it wasn't on beat. It's one of those very hard. It was one of the reasons why Sakura was kind of hard to do, actually. But it's one of my favorites still. Mm-hmm. What's your least favorite song?
We just talked about it earlier. The Reflex. Fun song. Hate the steps. Another song I hated. Oh, man. I can't remember it. When it comes to me, I can tell you. Watch it be, like, way at the end of this podcast, but I can't remember it right now.
Oh, okay. moving on. Do you play Step Mania? What do you think of it?
I play Step Mania. I haven't touched it in a while. It's still on my computer. But I think it's a good way for those that don't have consoles, or if they want to, like, travel and they have a laptop and they still want to play, they can easily get caught up with all the new songs that are out, and plus they can switch between different styles, like In the Groove, or Pump It Up, or DDR, if they felt like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can... It's another game you can add in these days, too. I can't think of it right now. But you also have different modes, too, like the Disney Magic mode. Now, speaking of Disney, one of my favorites is It's a Small World, Ducking Hardcore Mix. That song is awesome. That song is very awesome.
If you don't know what we mean by that, if you can find the song and download it, just listen to the first thing Donald Duck says. That's the reason why the song is awesome.
Yes, because you would never think Donald was saying it.
Well, technically you would. It's just Disney wouldn't let him. Thank God Konami would.
you've played in a lot of DDR tournaments, and you've traveled for DDR, and you've traveled for fun for DDR. Since I know that you go to Animazement in May and AWA in September for the DDR tournaments, because they keep inviting you back for AWA.
Well, technically they don't invite me. It's more, hey, they're having it again. Well, this past year they didn't have it, thank God. It means I could actually go there and just enjoy myself just to go.
AWA, by the way, is Anime Weekend Atlanta. Very awesome. I've never been able to go because I've always been either working or didn't have any money, or a combination of both. I do fully intend to go at some point, but why do you like to travel for DDR?
Well, one is travel. It gets me out of the city, which is always good. And plus, when you travel, you get to meet people that you usually don't meet when you go to, if you have it, your local arcade, the local like DDR machine that you have.
I see. Also, a lot of our friends go that like to play DDR. They try to go to Anime Weekend just because they watch anime, and you know, you get to see a lot of stuff that's really outside of the norm. I mean, you got the big old 501st. Is the 501st Star Wars?
The 500. Yeah, the little clone army. The 500.
The stormtroopers.
Yeah.
They all show up, and they have this really big parade, and lots of people dress up for it.
Well, I think that's more Dragon Con than anything else.
Is that Dragon Con?
Yeah.
Well, I know they go to Anime Weekend, too, right?
I actually got a picture of one of them. Like, you're in the wrong spot, but your costume looks awesome.
I want to go to Dragon Con, too, but they have DDR stuff at Dragon Con, too, I think.
Not that I've seen. They're more comic book and a little anime-based, but it's mostly it's like... It's basically like San Diego's Comic-Con, just over here.
I see. I used to work with a dude named Bruce when I worked in Anderson at the Independent Mail, who liked to go to Dragon Con all the time. And he also went to AWA just because Anderson is like an hour and a half from Atlanta. So, I mean, that's a weekend trip right there.
Mm-hmm.
But... I like to travel, too, for DDR. Matter of fact, trying to plan another trip to Charlotte, well, actually Pineville, but it's basically Charlotte, to check out that machine and see what they've done with it and see if they've kept the 4th Mix Plus, which I don't think they did.
You're talking about what was Celebration Station, right?
Yeah, I can't remember what the name of it is now either, and I just looked at it on the internet the other day.
And there's also the spot down in near Augusta, I think it was called Adventure Landing. I think the name has changed. I'm not sure. If I remember correctly, at one point in time, that had an Extreme machine, but it also had a 5th Mix, which I only got to play twice. Once on a good machine at AWA, like a few years back, and then once at the South Carolina State Fair a couple years back. You never play on a machine that has hay all over it. That's outdoors. It will not work. It cost me $2 to learn that. I wish I got those $2 back.
I haven't played DDR at the fair. I know they have some at Carowinds, and I know they used to have a machine at Carowinds.
Still do.
Oh, they still do.
They actually have one of each there now. They have a DDR DDR Extreme. I learned this when I went up in August. They have a DDR Extreme. They have an In the Groove 3. Yeah. They have an In the Groove 3, which I got to play. I'm like, yeah, I finally played it In the Groove. I feel special. And a Pump NX. Pump It Up NX.
Okay. Those are the latest ones, actually. For those two, since they can't really put out In the Groove anymore. Most of the In the Groove people went over to do Pump NX, actually. They formed a group that made Pump NX. Because it's not necessarily Andemiro. Andemiro, like, helps them and all, I think, but I don't think that they're called Andemiro.
I think they still are. They still are called Andemiro. They just have the help of the people that did In the Groove to help them out, if you will.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to say about DDR?
This is mainly for anyone that's, like, anyone that walks by a machine and sees people play, anyone that has, like, kids that play it at their house or anything like that, and you're like, this is weird, give it a shot. Just one. If you enjoy it, that's cool. You can get into it. It's good exercise. I'm somehow still skinny. It's good exercise. For those that don't like it, okay, you don't like it, you don't have to knock it either. You don't have to make fun of those that play it, because there are some that actually play to get enjoyment out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially for those that especially those days when I was playing by myself and you had those crowds and you always had those two or three people that got on the other pad that tried to mimic you and look like complete morons. And especially, and I'm waiting for, like, long pauses where there's no arrows just so I could look at that person and kick them off the pad just to be like, don't do that again. Which resulted to that one hole I kicked in putt-putt, but that's another story for another day. Give it a shot. That's all I have to say. For anyone that's just getting in that actually wants to get better, it takes practice. It really does. The best thing I can do, especially if you're in a house and you know you can't play on a pad because you know it'll disturb the neighbors or your parents or anything, play on a controller. People hate when other people do that. It will really help your timing. It did with me somehow. Like, yeah. Lindsay can attest to that. If you play on a controller, it will help with your timing. Then you can transfer that to your feet. Everything will make much more sense.
Yes. Also, I suggest making CDs. Listen to the music. If you actually listen to the music in DDR, find something you like and listen to it, you can easily, once you learn the beat of the song, the arrows start making sense on heavy. Actually, they start making sense on standard, but they really make a lot of sense on heavy. Even those songs sometimes that you think, oh my god, this has nothing to do with the song, it does actually have a little something to do with it. But I learned, I got better, much better, once I started making my own custom soundtracks for it. Just, you know, pulling together all the music and listening to it in the car. And getting you know, an idea of how the steps go.
I mean, even, like, okay, it's a little bit of an OCD on my part, but that one day when I finally got to play Max Unlimited and it just dropped me like it wasn't funny, and I still had the CD, that's when I put it in my car and I put it right to that track of Max Unlimited and I put it on repeat. And I listened to it, and listened to it, and listened to it, and yes, I sound like a complete dork saying this, but the more I listened to it, the more I saw the arrows going, because I had the home version, I saw how the arrows went, and I put everything together. After a while, gradually, I kept going through the song more, and through the song more, because yeah, that is a stamina waster. And once I made it to the end, I'm like, yes! Now I just have to get more perfects on it!
Yes, I did the same thing with Paranoia Survivor. It's actually one of my favorites, so, I mean, I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. And I remember at first, we couldn't tell the difference between Survivor and Survivor Max. And they tell you it's 20 beats per minute faster. But I'm sitting there like, okay, what's the difference? I'm not hearing it, other than the last 8 seconds of Survivor Max. But I listened to it, and, you know, after about a week, I listened to it again, and I immediately could pick up on it. It's much faster. Mm-hmm. That 20 beats per second, or 20 beats per minute, makes a difference. Mm-hmm. You can tell the difference, especially when you're playing it, when you're playing the actual steps. You can tell. It's noticeable. So, I mean, I can only suggest that you play it, listen to the music, find some songs that you like. I mean, you don't have to like every song, but, you know, find something that appeals to you and listen to it. And
then once you get good at that, branch off to another one, then another one, then another one, and you'll see yourself actually getting better at the game.
Yeah, that's how I discovered that I like Paranoia Survivor. I had heard Paranoia enough.
Yeah, that was my fault, I'm sorry.
From hearing Marcus practice it constantly, I heard Paranoia so much that I was like, okay, it's time for another Paranoia song. And he got to playing Paranoia Rebirth, and I discovered I like Paranoia Rebirth more than I like Paranoia. And then I said, oh well, I heard there's other Paranoias. Wonder what they sound like. So I picked up. I heard about Fifth Mix. I heard about. I'd heard about Evolution.
Evolution and Eternal.
I like Eternal. Eternal's one of my favorites, too. But I'd heard that one, and then I was like, oh, I heard they made another one in Extreme. Let's go listen to that. Mm-hmm. And I heard about Max at Dirty Mix, and I'd heard of Clean Mix, too. 2, also.
I seriously think with Paranoia Eternal, I think somebody was, like, playing it and then smashed their head against the CD and it just ended up like that.
Eternal is interesting.
To say the least.
But, yeah, I discovered other songs that I like by listening, just going through the mixes and listening to the music. And I discovered what I liked to play and what I didn't like to play. And it just takes a lot of patience, I guess, in practice. But once you find what you like and what you don't like, you're pretty much set, I would think. Anything else you wanna say for our listeners?
2 words of advice. 8-hour training sessions hurt. And after a while, your knees will hate you for a while. and no kicking walls.
No kicking walls. You get kicked out of arcades that way.
Well, technically, with that one, the only wall that I kicked, they actually kept it there just to warn all the other people, don't mess with him or that'll happen to you.
Okay, well, thanks for coming by and talking to us about DDR. We appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to ask these questions to me.
This has been Lindsay Mosley. Interviewing Marcus Barnes for Dance Dance Revolution.